Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 207 of our year of the Bible, looking at Isaiah 41 through 43, again in the second part of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah speaking to the Hebrews who are in Babylon. By the way, once they get to Babylon, they are called Judahites, because rather than thinking of Israelites, the Babylonians experienced them as people from Judah. And so they were called Judahites. And it's only once that they went to Babylon that they got the name Jews. Up until then, they had been either Hebrews or Israelites, usually Hebrews, but this is where the sons of Abraham become Jews. Anyway, so 41, God is talking about the way that he is sovereign over all the nations. How far does this go? We'll look at chapter 41, verse 2. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? Now, who is that one from the east? The answer is Cyrus. We don't know Cyrus yet. We haven't gotten to know Cyrus yet. But Cyrus is going to be the leader of the Persian Empire, the Median Persian Empire, and Cyrus has already started gathering power at this point, and folks are getting nervous. The Judahites in Babylon are getting nervous. The Babylonians are getting nervous. And the Lord says to people, hey, you don't need to, where do you think Cyrus is coming from? Like, where do you think Cyrus is getting his power? I'm the one who called him. I'm the one who is getting him to do my purposes. He thinks that he's in charge, but God is telling Israel, actually, I'm the one who's in charge. Now look down to verse like 8 through 10. You, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendants of Abraham, I have chosen you and have not rejected you. And then check this out in verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And one of the things that I just want to point out about that, down in verse 14, again, he says, do not be afraid. I love this. You worm, Jacob, little Israel, do not fear. And those are funny ways to translate those particular verses. Nonetheless, it's not wrong. It's just strange. You get the right idea, though. You little Israel, and like how little did Israel feel right there? Well, when you're taken off into exile into a foreign country, you feel pretty little indeed. God gives a command here in the 41st chapter of Isaiah, and the command is, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Now, that's a funny thing to command somebody. Do not fear. Hey, stop fearing. You know, don't be afraid. And so we might think, well, that's not very nice. How are they supposed to not be afraid? You know, when they're surrounded by enemies on all sides. But God telling the Israelites not to be afraid is not telling them something about themselves, right? It's telling them something about himself, which is that instead of being afraid, have faith. Because he says, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So the Judahites have nothing to worry about. They don't need to worry. So do not fear and do not be dismayed. I think it's neat that there's an imperative there. There's a commandment. But to move on to chapter 42, which is the first of what gets called the servant songs, from Isaiah. At the time of Jesus, the gospel writer, everybody around not right away, but after his death, they made the connection between Jesus and the servant that's described in Isaiah. So if you look at the beginning of chapter 42, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. And these descriptions of what this servant is going to be shows up straight like word for word in the Gospels. Some of the things that the Gospels describe are precisely what the way that the Gospels refer to Jesus. So in Matthew 12, for example, Jesus is going around and Matthew says, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is the Spirit whom I have chosen," and so forth. So it's quoted there. So when we read those servant songs, we're reading things that we can sort of apply directly to Jesus, and that would later be understood to be about Jesus. In chapter 43 came up in a Bible study recently, and I think it's interesting. There's the same imperative, sort of commandment, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, right? But I just want to point out chapter 43, verse 4. "Since you are treasured in honor in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you." Things are not usually put that kind of baldly in the Bible, but right there it says, "And because I love you," sort of straight out, straight up, "I love you" is the way that's put. And again, that's not something that happens in every, you know, that happens all the time. But there it is. In fact, it's the only one that I can remember. If somebody has an idea of another time, please let me know. But I think it's the only one. Look at how Isaiah is bringing together the things that have already happened and the things that are happening. So chapter 43, "For this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel," right? So that's forming Israel into a people. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you," meaning I've already redeemed you. Verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." What does that sound like, when you pass through the waters? Well, what is that? Well, the waters that it should bring to mind right away are the waters of the Red Sea. Now we will, right, going back to the idea that exodus from Egypt is the sort of the origin story of Israel as a nation. But it doesn't end there, because it says, "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God. I give Egypt for your ransom. You are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life." Now, what nations are this going to be? Well, it's going to be Babylon, right? It's going to be Babylon, the nation that will fall in order that God's promise to Israel could be fulfilled. So I think that's lovely. He makes it clear later on in chapter 43, this very same point, 43, let's say verse 14, for your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. So for the sake of Israel, all of Babylon is going to be affected because of the election of Israel, because God has made these promises to Israel. And then he reminds them in verse 16 about the Exodus. "This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, drew out chariots and horses." Again, that's a reference to the Exodus. But listen to what he says in verse 18. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing," right? So forget the former things. Now, what are the former things? The former things are exactly the things that should have given them faith in the first place, meaning the Exodus, right? And the bringing into the promised land. But you don't even, he's saying, you don't even need to worry about those right now, because something new is happening. And indeed, something new was happening. Unfortunately, Israel couldn't recognize it, and so they complain. So the Lord complains in verse 22. yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You know, why haven't you gone to the source of your power? Why haven't you gone to the source, of all life, the one who is faithful to you and will take care of you? And so he calls them back to him over and over again. And friends, he is calling us back to him over and over. Let it not be said of us, yet you have not called on me, Joel. You have not called on me, St. George's. Let's call on him. Let's call on him all the time. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. And also, Shay peed on the couch.